The Old Testament lesson for today is recorded in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, beginning at verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." Here ends the lesson. The Holy Epistle, also our sermon text for today, is recorded in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter, beginning at verse 12. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Here ends the Holy Epistle. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here ends the Holy Gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle lesson, which is recorded in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter, beginning at verse 12, and we will reread the text. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, everybody seems to know what the pastor ought to talk about and what his message ought to be. If there's one thing we get advice on, that's it. And so it's not surprising that in this letter to the young pastor Timothy, Paul instructs him about his message. And that's what he's really talking about. He spends the previous few verses talking about the dangers of dwelling upon the law. Finally, he says, the law is for those unrepentant sinners. But for us, there's the gospel. And that's what he's talking about here. For the repentant, for those whose hearts are broken, for those who despair of any righteousness of their own, there's this message. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, for this to happen, for anyone to be saved, including you or me, then there must be two things. First, long pause. Because I'm hoping you will think in your own minds what that must be. Because surely somebody will ask you one day. Hopefully you'll be prepared to tell them. First, there has to be some way for sinners like us to get into heaven. There must be such a thing as forgiveness. And then secondly, we have to be shown the way. Now, it's as simple as that, or as difficult as that, depending on how you look at it. You see, the problem that the world has is the problem of sin. That's why people are killing one another in Afghanistan. That's why people are killing one another in Chicago. And now that we're comfortable that that's all remote, that's why you're getting old. That's why you have problems in your life. That's why you will one day die. That is the curse of sin upon this world. As Paul writes in Romans 5, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. So that's the problem, sin. You've got it. I've got the same problem. If I didn't, I'd live forever. I'm not living forever. So, how can sinners get to heaven? If the problem in this world is sin, how can we unsin? How can we unring the bell? If perfection means that God's law is never broken and we've broken it, How can we unbreak his law? How can we become what we've never been? Perfect, righteous lovers of God. Well, some say, maybe we can make up for what we've done wrong. Maybe we can do lots of good stuff that's going to make up for the bad stuff. Hardly. Jesus says in Luke 17, so you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. Good works don't make up for bad works because good works are what we're supposed to do anyway. So by human calculation, it's no surprise that people are in despair over their sin. Why don't they want to talk about their sin? What hope is there of ever digging out of it? Let's just not talk about it. There's nothing we can do to change it. But we've got good news that there is a way for sinners to have righteousness. There is a way for sinners to be given perfection. There is a way for sinners to get to heaven and to be righteous and perfect and worthy to stand in the presence of God himself. It says in Romans chapter 1, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So in the gospel, there's a righteousness. A righteousness from God. But what is this gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has paid the atonement price for the sins of the whole world. The good news is that he did that by taking your sins and mine to the cross and there suffering hell for them. The good news is that he not only entered into death to pay for our sins, but he was raised to life as the declaration of righteousness and innocence. Justification is the word the Bible uses for the whole world. So there is a way. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's your message, Timothy. That's your message to one another. That's your message to your children, to your parents. Yeah, boys and girls, parents need to be reminded that you love them. Their Savior loves them too. That's the message for your friends and neighbors. The gospel is what shows the way. The gospel is what points to Jesus and his cross and says, because of him, I can assure you absolutely of the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, in today's text, we hear of a pretty rotten guy. This guy was an outrageous unbeliever. He was not just an unbeliever, but he absolutely should have known better. He was so schooled in the Old Testament, and he was so familiar with what Jesus had said and done, he should have said, yes, this matches. Jesus is the Messiah. But he was an unbeliever. He was a blasphemer. He was a violent man. You think of him today, he'd be like the Taliban that arrest Christians and bring them up on charges that they've shared the gospel with other people so that they can be executed, so that they can be beheaded. That's the kind of guy we're talking about. That's the kind of guy the Apostle Paul had been. And he was really, is really, an example for you and me. It says here in our text that that's the case. He says, "For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." It wasn't just an accident, not just a coincidence that God plucked this man from the ranks of the unbelieving and called him to faith. He did it so that we could say, if Christ's sacrifice could cover the sins of Paul, that hateful, spiteful, vengeful, blaspheming man of violence, then Jesus' sacrifice must have been enough for me and for you. And Paul was, like all of us, chosen not because he earned it or deserved it. He says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." Don't think that ignorance and unbelief deserve something. He wouldn't have used the word mercy otherwise. Nor would he have gone on and said, "The grace, the undeserved, unmerited love of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." It all came from him, including the faith, including the love that is worked in a believing heart. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's a saying. Deserves full acceptance. That's your message, Timothy. That's the message over and above everything else. Now, he also made a point that Timothy is to preach the whole counsel of God. But this is the message upon which it all rests. And it's comforting for you and me to know that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners, because that's what we are. We were born alienated from God. Our life has a history of sin in it. Even as Christians, when we look at that sinfulness, and we know that belongs to this present evil age, we know that we're going to bury it in the ground when we are finally called before our Lord. Still, we know, yep, those sins belong to me. It's a good thing that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And what's more, that's comforting. Did you know this? This may come as a surprise. That's something that would really comfort the people you work with, your next door neighbor, the people in your family, especially those you don't talk with too much. There's nobody in this world that is beyond being comforted by those words. Now, we may think that we live in a world that has, in which people have gone beyond all shame. They've gone beyond all regret. They've gone beyond all repentance. So that the only thing that we can do with them is grab them by the shirt collar and shake them and say, "Don't you realize you're a sinner?" Because so many people act like they don't know. Let me ask you, how do you feel about the things you've done wrong? And I bet you don't talk about them much. Why would you? Of course, knowing they're forgiven. But there's another reason, too. Who would want the embarrassment? And understand that the people that you live with, work with, that you see day by day, have another reason, very often, for not talking about their sins. And the reason is that there's no hope in their heart. Why would I admit a sin? Why would I admit my sinfulness if there were no remedy? I'll stick with bluster. I'll stick with self-righteousness. I'll stick with not talking about it. I'm going to ignore this problem. Because if I can't do anything to make it go away, I just want to do something so it doesn't hurt so bad. And that's why people often finally are willing to acknowledge their sin when they know that if we confess our sins, as John says, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I got to be honest. If I hurt your feelings, it's going to be a lot easier for me to come to you and say, I'm sorry, I realize that I hurt you. If I know you're going to say, well, I forgive you. Let's go on from here. It's a lot harder if I come to you and say, you know, I realize I've hurt you. I'm really sorry. And you say, you creep, you jerk, you bet you have, and there's no way on God's green earth I'm ever going to forget it. That's the world that unbelievers live in. They know nothing of mercy, nothing of forgiveness. They don't know or believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that doing so, he could even save them. And that's why they don't want to talk about it. So don't assume that just because somebody isn't in extremis of a repentant spirit and talking about their guilt all the time, that they don't feel it. For inside is a deep regret that's let out, not by accusation, but finally an assurance that there's a forgiveness and a salvation waiting for those who acknowledge their sins. Consider some examples. And these are people you will never know. There was a young man, his father was coming to his part of the country on a business trip. His father had not seen this young man's son, grandson yet. And obviously the father was thrilled, he was eager. He had given up significant amount of money and gone to a lot of effort to add a visit onto his business trip here. And the son was going to have to tell dad that no, he couldn't see his grandson. You know, dad knew the situation, but what he didn't know is that because the young man had taken advantage of a girl and gotten her pregnant, when marriage was not even in the picture, that he was alienated from this woman and there was no family relationship, and he'd just have to say, Dad, you can't see your grandson. It's not my turn this week. I tried and there's nothing I can do about it. I think there's some regret there, some heartache, some guilt. But in Christ, there's forgiveness also for that young man. And then there was the man who bought lottery tickets and scratch-off tickets, and he won a little bit, and so he bought more and more, and then his mortgage came due, and he didn't have the money to pay it, so he took it out of the till where he worked. And where do gamblers get the idea that this is going to work? He bought more tickets, hoping that he would make up his losses, and of course he never did. And he dipped into the till again, and yeah, he was caught. What was he thinking? And his parents lost their retirement trying to help him, and he did jail time, and his wife divorced him, and his kids ignored him. Regret? Heartache? Jesus Christ came to save sinners, just like him. Then there was the young fellow whose bride-to-be The wedding was about 6 weeks away. She borrowed his laptop. And what did she find on there but pictures, shall we say, of other women? And so the wedding was called off, and everybody knew why. And he eventually ended up moving to another town to get a new start because his reputation was in tatters. Regret, heartache, guilt. But for him also, there's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. There was a 30-something woman whose husband took her car keys because she was an alcoholic. And she'd promised her sister that she'd pick up the kids from soccer, and she told her sister, well, the car's in the shop, because she didn't have the keys. And so she took her sister's car. And you can guess what happened. Nobody was killed, but the little girl will have a scar for the rest of her life. Regret, heartache, guilt. Yes, but Jesus came to save sinners like her, too. And then there was a couple that had neglected church attendance for year after years. She had tried to work with him. She had, the wife had said, honey, let's go. And she tried going alone for a while. Finally, she just gave up. And eventually, they both fell away. Both were excommunicated from the church for neglecting God's word and sacrament. And then she died. And the husband called the pastor up. It was a different pastor now. He didn't realize that. But finally asked the pastor if he could do the funeral. And he was shocked to find the pastor wouldn't. And when he came to console the man, in that consolation, there was no hope that she was in heaven. The church had pleaded with these people to repent of their neglect, and they would not. And so it was too late for her, though not for him. Heartache, regret, guilt, but there was forgiveness for him. There is forgiveness with him in Christ also, even for the appalling sin of leading one's own family away from God's word into damnation. Now, if you watch the soap operas, if you watch the watch TV, popular culture, that's the only place you're going to find that things like this could really happen without sorrow and regret and guilt and a sincere, at least, wish that something could be different. A desire to somehow deal with the shame, to deal with the judgment of God. Well, other than those people who don't have, it seems, a sense of guilt, here is a trustworthy saying to all the others that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Even the worst. And that's why I can assure you of the forgiveness of all of your sins. And that's why I can rest in the certainty of all of the forgiveness of my sins. Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Thanks be to God. This peace of Christ be with you. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.